I'm going to use an illustration this morning in the message, and it happened because I was there. I was riding with a fella, and he had had several tickets, and as a result, he couldn't afford to get any more tickets because he would lose his license. So we were going from Star City to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. We rounded the curve, and sure enough, there set the law. And those red and blue lights came on, and he got behind my friend. And anyway, he couldn't afford to have another ticket on his record. And so I was there when it went to trial. And he had a lawyer, and he was a good lawyer. And he said, now, and he called him by name. He said, I can only do this one time. And I thought to myself, what is he going to do? And anyway, he got up and he interrogated the officer. And he asked the officer, you know, I had the ticket and all the stuff was down on it, you know. And the judge was sitting there, and I think the judge was wondering, now, where is he going with this, you know. And he asked the officer, now, is this right? He was going, you say he was going so-and-so, and he says he wasn't. And I really don't think he was because I was in the car with him. And, but anyway, he said, when's the last time you had your radar gun calibrated? Well, the judge sat there and he looked, and he had probably never heard that before. And the officer looked confounded. To make a long story short, he dismissed the case. And he kind of grinned at my friend. And he kind of indicated, don't ever come back here with that again. Psalms chapter 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. The first two Psalms in the Hebrew songbook kind of set the pace for the entire book. The first psalm has to do with the law. The second has to do with the prophets. And so when you look at the book of Psalm, it deals with the law and the prophets. On these two hinges, all of the Old Testament revelation hangs. Psalms 1 is emotional. It starts out, blessed or happy is the man. You know, if you're a child of God this morning, you ought to be a happy person. Happy is the man. Psalms 2 is intellectual. It deals with a moral problem. And it starts out with the word why. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine vain things? Why do they rebel against the will of God? Why? Well, Psalms 1 begins with a blessing and ends with a curse. Psalms 2 begins with a curse and ends with a blessing. Psalms 1 is essentially a psalm of Christ, while Psalms chapter 2 is essentially a psalm of the Antichrist. Psalms 1 shows the meditation of the godly, Psalms 2 the meditation of the ungodly. These two psalms form the introduction to this entire book. Psalms 1 obviously divides itself into two parts. We deal with in verses 1 through 3 about the godly man. And then we have the godless man in verses 4 through 6. And when he talks about man, he's not talking about an individual man, but he's talking about mankind. Every man, every woman, he's talking about them. In other words, we are talking about the godly individual and the godless individual. We're talking about folks that are either saints or they're sinners. They're either righteous or they're unrighteous. They're either on the way to heaven or they're on the way to hell. Well, Psalm gives us a picture that I want to share with you this morning. He talks about the godly person. Now, I don't know exactly how he got started with this particular thought, but God, knowing what we need, understanding our dilemma, he starts out on a very high note. And if you'll notice, the book of Psalm begins with the word blessed, or the word happy. Happy, happy is the child of God. The emphasis is on the phrase, God does not dole out his blessings one at a time, but he doles them out in plural. Now, all of us have sung the song, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. There are three things in our text that God says about the godly man. Number one, he talks about his path, the path that he walks in. A Christian is one that is separated from the world. Happy, happy is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand in the way of sinners, who sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Now, modern psychology would tell you to emphasize the positive. And, you know, I like to do that. I think it's noteworthy to emphasize the positive. But God begins here emphasizing the things that are negative. That is, the happy, happy man is marked by the things he does not do, by the places he does not go, by the things he does not say, the books he does not read, and maybe the television that he does not watch. You see, the child of God is one that is different. He is different. He walks to a different drumbeat from that of the world. And as you will see, he stands out in the crowd. Now, God begins this book not with the power of positive thinking, but the power of negative thinking. In other words, a person who wants to be a happy, happy person, there are some things that he is going to have to avoid in his life. Amen. There are some things he cannot do. It's impossible for him to be happy and do the things of the world. Be happy in the Lord. Well, I want us to look at these phrases briefly this morning. First, the godly person does not listen to the ungodly person. Brethren, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you talk to. Be careful that you don't let somebody influence your life in the wrong direction. You see, the devil is going to do everything that he can to discourage and defeat you. And he will do it by the subtle counsel of the ungodly. I'm going to refer to that illustration that I shared with you. If this young man that I was riding with, if he had been guilty of driving too fast, and he went and he got a lawyer that was smooth tongued, and this guy was. He was smooth. And if the driver knew he was going too fast, the officer knew he was going too fast, the judge probably knew it too. But because he had a smooth tongued officer or a lawyer, maybe he got off, and he shouldn't have. I'm here to tell you that we have to be careful that we don't take the counsel of the ungodly and hurt our testimony. Now, I couldn't tell if he was speeding or not. I didn't think he was, but I couldn't really tell. But I think in his heart he knew. So be careful that you don't ruin your testimony by letting somebody lead you in the wrong direction. And they say, well, if a Christian does that, they'll do anything. Brethren, we are living epistles read of old men. We are individuals that we point folks to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to do it in a pure and a holy fashion. Be careful who you listen to. You know, I see little huddles sometimes, folks get together and somebody's telling something a little smutty. Christians ought to just walk away from that. Amen. You see, we need to stay separated and committed. The godly person does not linger with the sinful person. That is, he does not stand in the way of sinners. Now, there's nothing wrong with being friendly with sinful folks. That's the only way we're going to reach them. And you remember that the Pharisees called Jesus a friend of the publicans and the sinners. But Jesus reached out to them because he wanted to raise them up to a holy and nobler walk of life. He wanted them to be children of the Lord. As a Christian, you will stand out like a sore thumb if you don't run with the crowd. If you don't listen to what they say and do what they want you to do. Brethren, if we are a child of God, we walk to a different drumbeat. The world sees us and they know that we're real or we're genuine or we're false. But what we say, where we go, what we do. You see, we need to live a holy and a pure life. And then thirdly, the godly person does not laugh at the scornful person. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression in wickedness. The ungodly, the sinner, and then the scornful. The progression in backsliding. He walks, he stands, and then we see him sitting. It's a downward course. The company gets worse. And as it gets worse, sin increases its hold on the person. I want to tell you, people talk about alcohol being addictive. It is. Talk about drugs being addictive. They are. But I'm telling you, sin is addictive. People that will give in to sin a little here and a little there, after a while it'll take them further than they ever intended to go. Make them pay a price they cannot afford to pay. There are certain people in our day who fall into the category of the scornful. They're filled with disrespect and disdain for the cause of Christ. They can't stand the things that Christians hold near and dear to their heart. Some of them are on television. I'm telling you, be careful what you watch on television. And if you go to a movie, you be careful what kind of movie you go to. Because the devil is using the media in order to discourage and defeat and destroy the Christian faith. We've got to stand for what's right. I'm here to tell you that I appreciate folks who take a stand and it will cost them something. But you stand. You stand where Jesus stands, and you'll always stand in the right place. The godly person is separated from the world. He avoids the perils, the pitfalls, which lie along the path that's trodden by those that are wicked. And then from the godly person's path, move on with me, if you will, to the godly person's pleasure. He is not only separated from the world, he is also satisfied with the Word. You see, the Word of God has captured his full affection. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He has a different counselor than that of the ungodly man. He finds different commands in different companies than that of the sinful man. He has a different cause than that of the scornful man. His first love is the Word of God. God's Word claims his full attention. I'm here to tell you we need to study the Word. Show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly being able to divide the word of truth and distinguish what's right and what's wrong. The Word of God is a plumb line. It tells us what's right, what's wrong. God help us that we'll be faithful to study the Word. The word meditate is here a good word, meaning he deliberately engages his mind with the truths of God's Word. I'm here to tell you, we don't read the book like we ought to read the book. You know, you hear that song, Dust on the Bible. The family Bible, you don't see many of them anymore, and Sister Norma sings about that. But people don't read the Bible like they used to. They don't study the Word. No wonder we're slipping as a denomination, as a family of God. Because we don't study the Word, we don't know His will for our lives. Then thirdly, from the godly person's path and his pleasure, you see his prosperity. He is not only separated from the world and satisfied with the Word of God, he is situated by the waters. You know, if there's any place you want to be, it's to be by the refreshing stream of water. You know, I watched Gunsmoke last night. And anyway, they had a prairie fire. You may have seen the same one I did. Had a prairie fire, and they lost the wagon, and they lost everything. You know, no water. Wouldn't it be awful to be without any water? I'm convinced that you can make it if you can get some water. Well, make a long story short, he survived for another program. They found water. In the symbolism of Scripture, water for cleansing invariably represents the Word of God, while water for drinking symbolizes the Spirit of God. Brethren, if you have the Word of God and the Spirit of God in your life, you have direction, you have guidance, you have the Lord there to show you the way. And He'll not only show you the way, but He'll kind of pick you up sometimes. And He'll carry you when you get to the place that you need to be carried. He knows exactly what you need when you need it. God help us that we'll study the Word. The psalmist notes seven things that mark the life of a person who is situated by the rivers of water. Number one, he has prominence. He is like a tree. He is noticeable. He is conspicuous. He is stately. Folks know him by his consistency. He is a living epistle that folks can see and read Christ in his life. His permanence, he is like a tree planted. His roots go down deep in the soil of God's Word. He has strength and stability. He's not up and down. He's not wishy-washy. He's dependable. Brethren, I love to see a child of God that comes, that, well, they get saved and they become a child of the King, and then they walk with Him every day. He's dependable, faithful. Wow. His position, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The droughts which bring bleakness and barrenness to others do not affect him. You know, some folks live beneath the circumstances all the time. It seems like they never get on top. They never have victory. But praise God, when you see somebody that they're faithful, they love God, they serve Him, they're not in and out, they're not wishy-washy, they're just faithful. Then notice his productivity. He bringeth forth fruit. His branches run over the walls. God blesses me that I can be a blessing. He blesses you that you can be a blessing. He doesn't want us to hold it in like the Dead Sea and become dead and dormant. He wants us to be alive and well and share the fruit of His blessings. His propriety, He brings forth His fruit in His season. That is, He is proper and He is fitting. He conforms with the accepted standards of behavior. Now, I could talk a long time right there. Brethren, we dress different. Yeah, we do. We dress different. We act different. We talk different. We walk different. We don't go to the same places that the world goes to. We're just different. But praise God for that difference that makes the difference in the world. Folks will come to know Christ if they see it's real in my life, in yours. I don't know about you, but I think this is the way to live. Happy, happy is a person that is godly, that does the will of God. But then the contrast is the godless person. The godless person is the one who leaves God out of his or her life. The word ungodly is the mildest description of the lost person in the Word of God. By definition, a man is either married or he's unmarried. He is either happy or he is unhappy. He is either thankful or he is unthankful. He is either godly or he is ungodly. There's no in between. Everything about the ungodly person in this psalm sets him in stark contrast with the godly person. Notice he is first of all driven. Having described the godly man, the Holy Spirit now turns his attention to the ungodly man. And he says this, the ungodly are not so. In contrast with the towering tree with its roots that are deep in the soil, nourished by the perennial streams, the ungodly is likened to the chaff which the wind bloweth away. The unsaved man is at the mercy of forces he does not see, which he cannot control. These forces are satanic, and they're wielded by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The ungodly is not master of his own soul. He is not captain of his own life. He is being relentlessly driven, and he is as powerless as the chaff is to the blowing wind. That's how God describes the ungodly. You know, folks think that they've got control of their life, but if you live in sin, the devil's got control of your life. You may not understand it, you may not realize it, but he has control. And when you try to buck the traces and get away from him, he'll fight you. He'll do everything that he can to pull you back to that downward course. You see, the devil understands full well that he is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. He knows what we know, and he knows more. He knows that there will come a day that the Lord will say it's enough. He knows there'll come a day when there will be a judgment. And he already knows that there is a lake of fire, and death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death, and the devil and his imps will be cast into that lake of fire. They'll be bound hand and foot. But as long as he is alive and well, he is deceiving folks. The godly person is also doomed. He says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In the day of the judgment, the sinner will be summoned to the great white throne. And all the wicked, all the sinners will be there. And they will come before him one by one. And then that video that's in their brain that tells everything about their life will be manifested. The Bible said every life will be made manifest. I don't know how he'll do it. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll see yourself as God sees you. And if you're not ready to meet him, you'll see yourself as one that is condemned and worthily so. The day of judgment, everything familiar on that day will be gone. Everything he has sought to build, everything in which he has invested his time and his talents, they'll all be gone. He'll have no place to stand. Wouldn't it be awful? The Bible says they'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It talks about falling. You see, a person that goes into hell will be cast into hell and will be forever falling in the blackness and the darkness of the sinful punishment that God has provided for those that reject his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the greatest sin that a person can ever commit is to say no to Jesus. When he says, come and I'll give you life. Doesn't cost you anything, not a dollar, not any money. Without money and without price, you can come. And if you reject him, that is the meanest, vilest, most wicked thing that you can ever do, is to reject the Son of God. Let me close with this. Britain's illustrious Queen Elizabeth launched the ships that smashed the power of Spain and saved England from the Roman papacy and the Spanish Inquisition. She set Britain on the road to becoming an empire, inaugurated a golden age, and reigned in pomp and splendor for 45 years. Though she was a staunch Protestant, one can't help but wonder just how much she knew about the true salvation of God. Historians tell us how she died, propped up on her throne, a haggard old woman in the 70s, frantically hanging on to her life, desperately fighting off this last enemy. Her last words have rung down through the centuries. She said, "All of my possessions for a moment of time. All of my possessions for just one moment of time." Reminds me of the rich man in hell. Father Abraham sent Lazarus with one little drop of water on the tip of his finger to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Little things mean a lot. But death came, bore away her soul, and left her clutching fingers riveted to the sides of the throne. The godless person is driven and is doomed. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." There's the way of the cross that leads to Calvary and to glory. And there's the way of the curse. That's the broad, the popular way. That's where the crowd's at this morning. I hate to say that, but that's where they're at. They're going on that broad road, but it's a downward path. And if they don't get off, they'll find the pits of hell at the end of that broad road. But the good news is, you don't have to go there. Isn't that good news? I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go to that place called hell. There is a choice that you can make. You can decide, if you haven't already, you can decide this morning, "I don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven." And you can come and say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Savior." And you can get up from there, a child of the King, your name blotted out of the book of works, and your name written down in the Lamb's book of life. Now, isn't that good news? That's good news. Happy, happy is the man that loves God. He is blessed. Will you bow with me?